and peace be unto you from God our Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ our Lord and Savior. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, hear this from Ezekiel 36, verses 25 to 27. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleannesses. And from all your idols I will cleanse you. And I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you. I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh, and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and be careful to obey my rules. Thus ends the reading. This is our prayer. Prepare our hearts to offer thanks to you, O God. Prepare our hearts. I want you to take your hand and I want you to place it upon your heart. You feel it beating? Some of you are shaking your head no, but I bet last night at about 10 p.m. you felt it pounding out of your chest. We take our hearts for granted. In fact, we take everything for granted. God provides you everything that you need to support this body and life. God gives you your food, your clothes, your house and home, your health. God gives you your money and the ability to earn it. God gives you everything. So how do you offer your thanks to God for all that He gives you? And some people tell me that what they give to the church is between them and God, between you and God, and I agree. What you give is indeed between you and God. In fact, I never look. I don't know, and I don't want to know. You have your thoughts about what you give to church, and God has His. And because what you give is between you and God, you need to know what God's thoughts are. And that's my job, to tell you what God's thoughts are. Some of God's thoughts about what you give as a thank offering are from 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 2. On the first day of every week, each of you is to put something aside and store it up as he may prosper. And from 2 Corinthians 8, 3, for they give according to their means. And I could sit here and list verse after verse to share with you how God directs you to steward your hearts. God has many thoughts about your thank offerings, and God has designed them to help you prepare your thank offering. But Satan tries to shackle the hearts and the thoughts of believers. Satan shackles us to keep us in one place, to make us think that there is only one way. Do you know how to teach an elephant to dance? Well, the very first thing you have to do is teach an elephant to stand still. If the elephant can't stand still, he can't begin to dance. And so in order to teach an elephant to stand still when the elephant is still yet a small child, they shackle one of the legs of the elephant on a short leash so that it cannot move. And the elephant knows and learns that when its leg is shackled, it stands still. So that when the elephant becomes an adult and you put a shackle on its foot, it stands still, even though it's leashed to nothing. The elephant doesn't move from that one place as if it is securely shackled securely. You see, that's a picture of how Satan makes people think that they always need to stand in one place when it comes to preparing their thank offering. It's as if a person's heart and thoughts are shackled to stay in one place. It's as if a person's heart can never move to doing something another way. It's as if their heart has been set in stone. Coming as a good doctor, God makes a correct diagnosis. His people have heart trouble. They have hearts of stone. Only a heart transplant will correct the problem. And God consults with his people about the transplant he'll do. The surgery God will do is described in Ezekiel. I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. You see, with new hearts, God's people will now be free from Satan's shackles, free to move about and to make new decisions. Ezekiel says that while God is doing the heart transplant, he will also give you an implant, and I will put my spirit within you. Ezekiel was echoing the words of King David in Psalm 51:10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. That offertory that we love to sing from Divine Service, setting number 3. Create in me a clean heart. David was asking God to implant deep inside of him a right, steadfast spirit. He wanted God to put a spirit in him that would never waver from God's word. Instead of the sin that he had committed, David wanted to follow God's direction for his life. In King David's day, unclean things and unclean people were made clean by blood sacrifices. Our heart transplants would require a sacrifice too. God's heart so ached for us that he gave his own son to be the sacrifice. Jesus laid down his life to be lifted up upon the cross, the all-sufficient sacrifice for the sins of every evil heart. Now, Ezekiel promised God's people that God would use water to make them clean and renew them. Ezekiel promised, I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleannesses. And just as Ezekiel promised, God sprinkles clean water on you at the baptismal font. I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. A life-giving water, baptismal water, giving you new life, not a life shackled by Satan to stand in just one place. And more, your baptism is the new birth in the Holy Spirit. Ezekiel, speaking God's promise, and I will put my spirit within you. David asking God, renew a right spirit within me. God creates a clean heart in you and renews a right spirit within you. And now God has prepared some steps that you can follow as you offer your thanks to him. First, he gives you a clear, straight thinking, as Peter tells you. Therefore, preparing your minds for action, set your hope fully on the one grace that will be brought to you. 1 Peter 1:13. See, God gives you basic guidelines in his scripture. In 1 Corinthians 16:2, Paul writes, on the first day of every week, each of you is to set something aside and store it up as he may prosper. First, think of your thank offering each week, each Lord's day, each Sunday. And second, put your offering aside and store it up. Prepare ahead of time, not on your way to church on Sunday morning and not as that plate passes by you. Although I'm sure you, and I will confess, I have been guilty of doing that on some occasions. Oh, here comes the plate, here comes my wallet. Set it aside. Store it up. Finally, prepare your thank offering in proportion to how God has blessed you. As you may prosper. God recognizes that each family, each person prospers differently. Some prosper more, some prosper less, but each person does prosper. When you stood as an adult and heard, "I baptize you," or when your sponsor held you and the pastor said, "I baptize you," right then God did a miracle on you. God reached across the centuries, and in his own way, he took you out of the arms of your sponsor and buried you right into the tomb and the grave of Jesus with him. In your baptism, you died to living sinful ways. But that was only the half of the story of the miracle that God did when you were baptized. The other half is God prepares you. Prepares your heart to thank him for all that he does. And part of that preparation, we pray, will be through his word over the next 2 months. Our sermon next month will give you more guidelines, and the sermon in 2 months will answer the question, why do I climb into the offering plate? If nothing else, O Lord, if nothing else, prepare our hearts to offer our thanks to you. Thy will be done. Amen. Now may the God of peace equip you with every good thing that you may do his will through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.